Folks, it's Women's History Month. What a great month. It's one of my favorite Moms of Duties episodes because you can get to meet, learn so many amazing women who are doing great things in society. It can be all across the world or right here in your backyard in Maryland. In this episode, I have this person, this woman who's doing some things that are amazing. She is really just doing things that I probably wish I could do, but I just don't do it because I'm like, I'm too lazy to get up in the morning time. But they do a healthy workout thing. They help clean the harbor up. They clean out different rivers and also in the ocean, traveling across to different, continents, but countries and whatnot. And she's also an author, a best-selling author. So, you know, I'm excited to have this person on the episode. And after this message, we'll talk to Miss Brittany.
We made a pledge to do what's best for the health of our communities. And we continue to deliver on it every day for every one of our members. With access to a network of over 1 million providers, rewards for living healthy, and more care options than ever, we are CareFirst Blue Cross Blue Shield, and we are changing healthcare for all that we serve. At CareFirst, it's not just our name, it's our promise.
Welcome to the No Pixel Dark Podcast. I'm your host, Aaron Dante. I told you folks, always stay with the heavy hitters, the best of the best. Women's History Month, why not? We're going to make it happen. The lady we have here is Miss Brittany Wisniewski. How are you?
Hi, Aaron. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for making this happen. We've been trying to do this for the last 6 months to a year to have this happen.
Oh, yeah. Honestly, busy people over here.
We are. So that's a good thing. When you're busy, that means you're doing things. So that's a good thing.
Hey, that's true.
I love it. I can't argue with that. Tell people a little bit about you, who you are.
So I'm Brittany Wisniewski, and I am part of Hands on Hit. I'll restart it. My name is Brittany Wisniewski, and I am an author. I'm an environmentalist. I host cleanups every month in Baltimore for the past almost 5 years now. And we've picked up over 10,000 pounds of trash in the Baltimore area alone.
I love it. And you're also best-selling author?
Yes, I am the author of Keeping Well. It's an anti-cancer book, so... it's basically a health book for anyone, how to prevent cancer, because it is honestly pretty preventable in a lot of ways that we don't think of.
All right. So let's give a quick background to folks about, are you from Maryland? And what are your fondest memories growing up in Maryland?
Yes, I'm born and raised in Baltimore, Maryland. So I grew up in Dundalk. And oh my gosh, some of my fondest memories are, as a child, my grandparents started Patterson Park Bowling Alley, which I know is like about to shut down. There's like this whole movement on trying to preserve it. But those are some of my fondest memories. I have a very business mindset, and I think that's a lot of the reasons why, because my grandparents have owned that for all of their lives.
So growing up, you saw like the business entrepreneur spirit, yes, and things of that nature. Is that what installed what you are now?
I really think so. I would always, my grandparents would watch me when I was little, and I would see my grandfather doing like, you know, they didn't have computers back then. So he'd be like handwriting the accounts. And wow. I always just thought it was really cool. And then seeing them, like, they have this whole big spot. It was just, I don't know. I think that really shaped me in a lot of ways.
That's awesome. Like growing up in a bowling alley, that's pretty cool. I mean, I know that I have been there once. I thought it was really cool, the duck pens and whatnot. And really cool. And I hope that they do keep it. And yeah. I knew they were trying to redevelop things and whatnot. So that's definitely part of Baltimore.
Baltimore. Sure.
So like you went to school in Dundalk. Did you stay here after school, Kyle, high school? What did you end up doing?
I did. So I went to high school at Eastern Tech. Okay. And then I went to a trade school. So I do skincare full time. And that's not really part of, I feel like no one knows that about me because I don't post about it. Mm-hmm. But I've been doing it for the past, 15 years now since I was fresh out of high school. So I'm an esthetician from there. Oh my gosh, I think I've done every kind of course and online course, and I'm like a bookworm. I'm so nerdy, like beyond nerdy. So if I get interested in a subject, whether it be natural health, like how I wrote my book, I dive so deep. Like no one knows, no one sees me for like 2 weeks. I'm like learning everything I can about it. It's almost sick.
I love that you said that you're like, I went to a trade school, because I feel like, mm-hmm, a lot more people, and I like people, should go that route.
Because,
you know, you don't know what you want to do. You don't know, mm-hmm, if, why I spend all this money in college when you can learn a trade, like doing something that, because we're learning, losing a lot of people who don't have those trade skills and things of that nature.
Exactly. And it's cheaper. You're not going to be in debt paying $100,000, you know? Like,
right.
Honestly.
Right.
I get paid like $7,000 for my school. It's crazy.
Right.
Yeah, I agree.
I totally agree. Because I'm like, I have friends now who have kids who are like, listen, pick a trade. Mm-hmm. Pick something like, you know, it's not, because I think the society has pushed us to where it's like, you have to go to college, you got to get a degree, you got it. But there's a lot of people who can do a lot of different trades. I mean, there's a lot of different people who could be plumbers, yeah, master electricians, things of that nature that you can go to schooling, but you can learn it by the trade. And it's, we always need those. I know I'm always looking for a plumber or electrician.
Exactly. And I feel like the money is there.
Yes.
Now, I did go to college too at CCBC. Okay. So I have an associate's degree for no reason. But that was because that, like, you need a degree was so instilled in my head. So I was like, mm-hmm, oh my gosh, I better get an associate's degree. So I did. And I don't regret it, but like, I regret the money portion of it.
Oh, you know, it happens. It happens. Yeah. So tell us a little bit about, you know, like, what did you start learning? Like, when were you as a child always growing up, like picking up trash on the side of the road? Were you always like a litter, like you couldn't stand litter? Like, give us a little background before we get into it.
Aaron, it's so weird, but I have these two. My memory is I have a forward-thinking memory, so I actually don't have a lot of past memories.
Okay.
So my friends are always like, how do you not remember that? But I have two very vivid memories as a very young child, probably like under 10.
Mm-hmm.
And one was walking home from school with my grandmom, and I was eating a piece of candy, and I littered. Like, I just threw it on the ground, knowing it was wrong, but like, my friends in school did it. So mm-hmm, it's like, I just did it, and my grandparents never yelled at me, but she was so furious. I was put in timeout.
Wow.
So I feel like that definitely made a little impact on my brain. And then I was like, oh, that's like really wrong, but everyone does it. And then my other memory, and I don't know, it's almost embarrassing. It's like very strange, but I made signs to put in the alley. I grew up in Eastwood. Eastwood's my neighborhood. Mm-hmm. It's in Dundalk. And I made these two signs to put in the alley. One said, like, don't litter. And then the other one was, like, models don't smoke. I went to modeling school, like, as a child.
I get it.
So this activist, I've always had, like, a little strange activist spirit because...
No.
Strange thing to do, I guess.
I grew up, like, where, like, my mom was, like, you better not litter out the car. You better not, like, you better hold them so until you get home and throw them, like, or wait to find a trash can. So yeah, even to this day, I don't litter. Like, I just don't do it. Like, I just like to, you know, even in my neighborhood, I walk once a week up and down my street to clean up the streets and make sure there's nothing in the gutters.
I love
because
that.
Your neighborhood represents who you are.
Yes.
And I always thought, like, when you go to certain different neighborhoods, mm-hmm, in certain parts of the world, some parts are very clean, very pristine.
Yeah.
Other parts, like, what happened here? And really, people look at it like, wow, what's wrong with this? I don't want to be in this neighborhood. You want to be, and that was one of the things that really stuck out when I moved to the neighborhood. A guy, I watched him. He would go up and down the street and clean up with his bag, and I do. He moved, and I do it now. Another neighbor does that.
Exactly. It trickles. When people see that you're doing something, they're like, you inspire people and you don't even realize it.
Right.
That kind of reminds me, you know how back in the day my grandma would always say she'd be so appalled that people's marble steps were like dirty. Because back in the day, that was their thing. They would polish them, clean them. And we've lost a sense collectively of like self-respect for our houses.
Right.
And just saying this, I'm like, damn, I should go home and like weed my garden.
No. You know, well, it's funny you said, because I remember last year I did a photo shoot, and the photo shoot was me wearing a tux. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I need to be clean. I want people being dressed up going to events anymore. Let's go to events. Like, stop coming in your pajamas and look presentable, look the part. And people looked at me like, oh, you're definitely so. Any of my live shows now, I'm wearing my tux, or I'm always looking nice, but looking really presentable. And I always try to tell people, like, let's stop looking sloppy. We did 2 years of being in the house, 3 years of COVID. Mm-hmm. let's look good again. Like, so
I love that.
I always like the roaring 60s, the 20s, how they looks, the roaring 20s, the look of everybody's dressed up. And, you know, I look at my parents' outfits. They were always dressed up going out. Now people go out, they're like, roll out of bed, which is fine. I get it. Like, you know, I do that when I go to 7-Eleven or something like that. But like going out, like you always look presentable, but you never know who you're going into.
Exactly. I have this theory that elegance is going to come back because you see a lot of this divine feminine things on Instagram and like divine masculinity. Mm-hmm. And I feel like we're going to start dressing pretty elegant again. That's my hot take. And I really think it's going to happen.
I love it. I love
like beautiful, elegant, like, diamond earrings, like things like that. I really think it's going to happen.
I feel like it is. I feel like people will just gotta just do it.
Yeah.
Just look, play the part.
Meanwhile, I'm wearing jeans.
Oh, you're all good. You're all good. You're
maybe
all,
some Uggs.
You're all good. You're chilling. But no, so, and then you also, were you a writer in high school? That's another thing. Were you a writer? Were you a journal taker? Like,
no. English was my worst subject.
Okay.
I hated writing papers, but I've always wanted to write a book. That was my childhood goal. If you ask me when I was 5, my biggest goal in life, it was to write a book. And it was because I loved books. I've always loved knowledge. So for me, that was like the highest thing I could do was like to write one myself, even though I hated writing. But I am, if my heart is into something, I can do it very easily. Mm. So if I'm writing a book that I'm passionate about, that's going to be, my book took me probably 24 hours to write, honestly.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, you were really into it.
You know, it's
like
100,
it's like 100 pages, right? 100?
Yeah, it's very, I forget how many pages, but like, it only takes you an hour to read. It's right. A short book, but if you have a knowledge of something and your heart's into it, it's very easy. But if you've asked me in English class to write a paper on something I'm not interested in, that's like pulling teeth.
Right. I get it. So that the reason why I asked, we'll lead into you writing the book and why you wrote the book. We'll also talk about being an environmentalist and why that's so important to you and how'd you start a group of people to go around. And you also traveled to Haiti, correct?
The Dominican Republic. Same thing.
Yeah.
Well, no, let's not say that.
Oh, don't say that. They get mad. Don't say that. People get mad.
They're in the same island.
Let's go by same island. Let's go same island. But you went down to Dominican Republic and you did some work down there. Just work in Jacksonville. You did some work in Florida. So I really want to know what was behind that. We'll talk a little bit more about that. We'll be right back after these messages, folks.
You give to United Way. Your gift could be the first spark of something bigger. It can help someone find, interview for, and get hired for a job and provide follow-up services for success. It can break down educational barriers and give that extra help to a struggling student with in-school support programs. Give today. Spark something bigger.
Are you or someone you love in need of mental health support? For All Seasons is now offering same-day therapy appointments with no wait list. Through the For All Seasons Open Access Program, you can walk in for mental health services and begin therapy in the same visit. For All Seasons accepts all insurances and provides financial assistance if you need it. For therapy, psychiatry, or victim support, we have appointments available today. Call For All Seasons, 410-822-1018.
And folks, we are back with Miss Brittany. How are you?
Great.
Thank you so much for coming to the show. I always try to tell everybody, this is your show. The audience can listen to your story and hear what's going on. So thank you for your time. We appreciate it.
I appreciate it. It's been very fun talking to you.
Yeah, I'm trying. My first day. I'll tell everybody. Every day is the first day. So we got the build up. Mm-hmm. All right. Environmentalists. Or we're going to talk about author. Which one you want us to get into first? You tell me.
I wrote my book first. Let's go in chronological order here.
Okay, the book? Okay.
Yeah, why not?
So what made you write a book? Tell us about the background about all that.
So childhood goal, always to write a book, but I just never knew what it would be about.
Okay.
So I had been studying natural health for 10 years, diving so deep. I'm talking probably a year's worth of research. So deep down the rabbit hole because my mom, when I was 19, died from breast cancer. And it's all good. I appreciate it though. Something didn't sit right with me when she died. I was like, my mom was literally the healthiest person I personally knew. I know way unhealthier people. Why did she get breast cancer? She worked out frequently, ate good, like, so when she died, I feel like this little Easter egg was left. It was very synchronistic, but like the day after she died, I was in her bedroom, like going through her stuff, I don't know, being nosy, and I saw this book. It was Crazy Sexy Cancer by Chris Carr, and this, it was a book and a DVD. I popped the DVD in, and it's all about natural healing. So Chris Carr had cancer, and she basically kind of stopped its progression with diet, natural health, healing, emotional healing. Just there's a whole picture when it comes to healing. So that made, I was so, my interest was piqued, and I needed to know everything about that. So I studied for 10 years, and I was like, my mom, there's two reasons I think my mom died from cancer. Health, her diet, it was pretty good. Maybe, I don't know, pesticide. She wasn't eating organic. That wasn't really a thing back then. But emotions. Each time my mom had cancer twice. Each time that she had cancer, she was in the middle of going through a divorce. Mm. She was trying to divorce my dad. Now, my dad's still alive. I do not think in any way it's like his fault. But I don't think that she had the emotional healing portion down. You know, stress peaks cortisol and inflammation leads to genetic mutations. So there's so many different ways I think she got cancer. And then another reason is when she was little, there was a clay playground behind her house, which is in John Hopkins Bayview. If you're familiar with that area, there is a golf course there now, like a driving range. But under that driving range is toxic waste. That when she was little, it was not covered up properly. They basically just slapped clay over top of barrels of toxic waste, and they would play in it. So if you know anything about clay, clay absorbs things. So it's basically like they were smothering toxic waste all over themselves and playing in it. So I think that led me into like your environment affects your health and everything else I do now.
No. That's interesting because I've heard a lot of things about that. Like, because I mean, if you think about certain parts of the Baltimore City right now, where they're very, very developed, underneath there, they had to cap a lot of stuff.
Yes.
And so you wonder, you know, you kind of wonder, is everything an up and up? And the EPA says it's fine, but you kind of wonder. And just to hop on there, also, my mom had cancer also. And my dad had cancer.
Wow.
So, you know, fortunately, my mom's still alive. My dad is not here anymore. But again, you know, it's life happens. but yeah, that part of the story really I wanted to touch on.
Yeah.
Because you talked about, you start doing, you deep dive research. And what's some things out of the book that you got, that you put out there that you didn't know or learn, help to teach the public about?
I think the biggest thing that you could take away from my book, because it's something that I wouldn't really think much about, is I have a whole section on anatomy. And anatomy can be very daunting to an average person, like your functions. But honestly, if you just understand the basic functions of your anatomy, you kind of know how to heal yourself. It's kind of strange. But if you think of your skin as a sponge, like your skin is a sponge, it's taken in everything. So, okay, what can I do to prevent toxins from seeping in my skin? Not using Victoria's Secret chemical waste lotion like every single day. You think of your liver and how it's just basically like sorting through everything you put in your body. So when you eat things, you're like more mindful. I don't know, just knowing your whole entire body's anatomy, it just makes you make better choices.
Right.
You know?
You eat different.
You eat different. Definitely. You live differently when you understand your basic anatomy. But I break it down so simply in my book. And then I give you ways in which you can not poison that organ.
How inspiring was that when you hit finish and the book was done and you actually saw it on Amazon and things of that nature? How inspiring was that?
Oh, man, I think I cried when I saw it the first time and I was like holding it because it's just my childhood goal since I was 5.
Right.
And I was like, oh my gosh. And I designed the book cover, which is very simple. It's just like a palm leaf. But I used a book. I didn't like write it all myself. I had someone helping me along the way, which I actually really enjoyed, because now I feel like I know how to write my second book, which I'm working on now. It's like, you know, once you know how to do something, it's easy.
Right.
But yeah, it feels good to finish a project.
I love that. Thank you for sharing that with you. I know that was a very, you know, private and family matter. And so
thank you
so much for sharing that part about that, about your book. Then we'll talk about environmental. Let's talk about that. So how do we get into talk about the group that you started, all this. How did this all start?
Help us out. So you know, it all started from another organization. Oh my gosh, actually, I could go back a little further.
Okay.
It's so weird how you were saying, you know, people, you know, see things, good things happening, and inspiration trickles down. That's what I'm trying to say.
Correct.
So when I was in CCBC, it's the strangest thing how it happened. I had a speech class. I am a very shy person. Public speaking was like my least favorite class in the whole world.
Mm-hmm.
Not so much anymore. But they had a speaker come in, and he owned Bread and Cheese Creek Cleanups. And Bread and Cheese Creek, it's in Dundalk.
Okay.
It got its name from not the Civil War, the War of 1812, when we were fighting the British.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, he cleaned the entire creek, and they're still operating today. So he's giving this speech, all the cool things they find. They're finding all this old Civil War stuff. And I'm just so fascinated.
Mm-hmm.
And he's showing us all these pictures. And whenever I would go to the ocean, I would clean up trash. And one day I'm like, okay, there's a group in Dundalk cleaning the waterways. There's waterways everywhere.
Right.
We live in Maryland. So why can't I go do it?
Right.
So that's how it started. And then I partnered with Kate, who is my partner in Hands on Hits. And she does the workout portion. She's a fitness instructor. So we would do every month, like during the warmer months,
mm-hmm.
Hands on Hit, and we have a 30-minute workout. It's free event. 30-minute workout, an hour-long cleanup, and then go to happy hour. So we try to make it not feel like community service, but like just a fun event.
Mm. And like when you guys first started, was there a lot of interest in it, or like did you have to build it up? To like, you know, sometimes you have to build it up to where it is now.
You know, we started it during COVID.
Okay.
So there was not anything else that you could do. You could just be outside. So Kate was having her outdoor workout classes, and I was having my cleanups in the county. I wasn't really doing it in the city. I think our first event, we had like over 50 people.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. And then I always read, because you guys have, what was the largest amount of tonnage did you guys have? Do you remember that by chance?
Probably 2,000. 2,000 pounds.
And what do you guys do with that? Does somebody come pick it up, or does somebody drop?
Yeah,
do you guys partner
DPW
with somebody? Okay.
So sometimes we'll call in like 311, tell them we hosted a cleanup, we have this trash here, request to pick up. But then sometimes we partner with we haul junk and Junk King. So they're very kind to offer their service to us, and they take it to, you know, the proper destination.
That's cool. That's really cool. Because I think that's very important, where, you know, our waterways are very important. They gotta stay clean and things of nature. So what made you want to do, because I know you guys did some stuff in Canton. How do you guys choose a location for where you want to do cleanups?
Honestly, Kate was hosting her workouts in Canton.
Okay.
Canton, I live in the county now, mm-hmm. so I didn't really know that was like it's a great cleanup location. We could be there every day, and it just washes up constantly. But she was hosting her cleanups. It's just an easy area to clean. We have the street. We could focus on the street and the storm drains, which lead right into the bay. So they're very important to clean. Or you could focus where the rocks are. Going between the rocks, there's tons of styrofoam, even though it's been banned for like 2 years here now. It's always washing up on the boat slip. It's just a great spot to clean. People are always partying in the parking lot. The parking lot's liquor bottles all the time. So that's a good spot for us. And then we walk to happy hour.
And then I know you got, we'll get to happy. We'll get there. So what is the strangest thing that you ever, because you guys always have like a unique item that somebody always gets every time.
Yeah.
What was the most unique item that you have seen in the group, or a couple unique, items?
Man, if I could pull out my phone, I could tell you a lot more, but off the top of my head, we always find a pregnancy test, which I think is just very strange. I'm telling you, like, every time. always a pregnancy test, lots of car parts, always Lime scooters, and like, people just love to toss these scooters into the harbor, for real. We always find those. Shoes. Oh, I'm sure there's like so many really crazy things that I'm just not
dolls
thinking of.
Dolls. Toys.
We always find, thank you for saying that. We always find a doll part. And my biggest regret, because I'm like sick mind, I'm like, I wish I saved them all and built like
a doll collection.
A Frankenstein doll.
But trying to think, what's the diner in Baltimore that has all those dolls in it?
Oh my gosh, Paper Moon.
Yes.
Yes. That's where my mind goes.
Okay, I always creep out when I'm there. I'm always like, why did I come here again? The food's good, but why did I come here again? It's always like creeps me out.
Yeah.
It reminds me of Chucky and Child's Play. I don't know why. But that's interesting that you gather all those things. Now, how did you end up traveling to the Dominican Republic for the cleaning? How did you end up doing that?
Through networking. So my friend Chris Dickerson, he was actually a Baltimore Orioles player.
Okay.
So I think he was an outfielder. And so I got into contact with him. He's a good friend of mine. And he runs Players for the Planet. And basically, you know how every athlete has like a mission.
Yeah.
Something like they use their platform to make a positive impact. So he gathers all the athletes, not even just baseball players, any athlete, whose mission is to better the planet. And I think he does at least 2 cleanups per year in the Dominican Republic, because that's a huge baseball.
Right. A lot of players come from there, yeah.
Which I was very unaware of.
Yeah, a lot of players come from Central America and in Latin America, yeah.
Yeah. So he gathers all the kids' camps and all professional baseball players and does this whole big event. Oh my gosh, it gives me goosebumps to think about how insanely polluted some of the beaches there are. Mm. I think if the average person thinks of the Dominican Republic, they think of Punta Cana and white sand beaches.
Right.
If you go 2 hours west, different story.
Mm.
Completely trash is literally, this is not a joke, like up to your knees on the beach.
Wow.
On the beach.
Wow. So you've seen it all. So you've seen a lot of just different ways and how things are like, it's white sands over here, but they're not 2 hours later, it's like not even not look.
And the reason for that is just like how the environmental landscape moves, because there's basically a river that cuts through the whole country and they don't really have great waste management. So all of the neighborhoods on that landscape, the interior landscape, are just throwing their trash out on the streets because that's literally their only option except for burning it. So when the river takes it, it all lands right in Santo Domingo on the beaches.
It's kind of like in Baltimore, like the Fallsway.
Yes.
Everything that you put in the Fallsway ends up in the harbor. It just gets polluted, and that's where Mr. Trash was. Have you guys ever did a collab with Mr. Trashville at all? Have you guys ever thought about that?
No, but we should, because Kai or Sai, so it's Sai. I'm so sorry, Sai. but he is one of the engineers behind Mr. Trash Wheel. So his uncle is the one who designed it.
Okay.
And he comes to a lot of our cleanups. So
that'd be cool.
So they do support us.
That'd be a cool little thing, because they always do, like, they always, I've interviewed those guys in the Trash Wheel team and whatnot. So something, there's a thought. It's a thought.
Yeah, we'd love to.
How often, this is coming out in March, Women's History Month. Mm-hmm. Will you guys have anything coming up? I know you said a little bit when it gets warmer.
Yeah.
Anything coming up? How will people keep up to date with what you guys have going on? Is there an IG site? Is there a TikTok site or something like that?
So our Instagram is Hands on Hit. And you can always find us on our personal Instagrams. I think we're a little more active on there. Sorry. Okay. But we always do post when we have cleanups on Hands on Hit.
Okay.
Which is on TikTok, Facebook, Instagram.
It.
Email every platform.
I love it. And then you can find your book also, bestselling author.
Thank you.
On Amazon, correct?
On Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Target. Okay. Wherever books are sold.
And you gave us a little exclusive. You gave us a little exclusive. You said you got a part two coming out.
I do.
All right.
I'm almost finished writing it. I'm very excited because it's a very different concept.
Okay. We got to bring you back on for that. We got to bring you back on the show when that drops because I get exclusive.
Thank you.
You know, we can find you guys on IG. Is there an email address you guys have for?
Yeah. So we actually love to partner with local businesses and do corporate events with people. We've worked with quite a few people like First National Bank, Target. So if anyone wants to collaborate with us in any way or sponsor cleanup, our email is handsonhid@gmail.com.
Great. It's always because I know a lot of corporations are looking for things for people to do. Mm-hmm. And this time of year, it'd be definitely something where, hey, go help out and something to do. So really appreciate you dropping those jewels and gems. But I'm not going to let you off the hook that easily.
Okay.
We do a speed round here.
Okay.
We do a speed round. We got to make sure.
I'm prepared for
this. I don't know. I don't know if you're ready. So we got to ask a couple rules. Are you a meat eater, non-meat eater? Got to make sure before I ask the questions. Do you eat meat or not?
I used to be vegan, but I do eat meat now.
Okay. We got to ask the question as part of the whole situation.
Okay.
All right. Crabs or crab cakes?
Crabs.
All right. Chicken wings, flats or drums?
Flats.
Blue cheese or ranch?
Blue cheese.
Snowballs or ice cream?
Snowballs.
If me and my producer jumped in your car right now, what music will you be playing right now?
Probably Machine Gun Kelly.
Okay, Machine Gun Kelly.
That
okay.
was just the last thing I listened to. That was the first thing on my mind.
Okay, what motivation? What song gets you that gets you pumped and like get you in the mind frame? Like I'm about to like do the thing. Like I always listen to Tupac and Biggie before I come in here. I just,
you know, this is probably really weird, but I grew up in the emo time.
Okay.
So I was like a little scene kid, so I always, something that pumps me up is like My Chemical Romance.
Okay, I get it.
So I just love that kind of genre.
I get it. Your favorite artist, favorite three music artists you like listen to?
Oh, no. I've dated quite a few of them. So I'm like, I gotta be careful with my words when it comes to this topic.
Anybody. Music.
Okay, music right now. Yeah. I mean, I do love Machine Gun Kelly. It pumps me up. Brings me back good memories. What else? I like old music. Motley Crue is definitely a big one.
Okay.
The Misfits.
Oh wow. Okay, you're
a total punk girl at heart.
I get it. I hear it.
Unsuspecting. But if I were to get another tattoo, it would be a Misfit skull.
Okay. So, because they do like a death metal, there's a death metal thing they do downtown once a year. You know what I'm talking about, right? Yeah. So, I heard about this about a while back. But yeah, I heard about that. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, Maryland Death Fest.
Yes.
It's always Memorial Day weekend.
Yes.
Don't ask me why I know these things.
I know this because I was told you should cover it. You should check it out.
They're big. They're huge.
So definitely, definitely, hopefully this year we'll make it happen.
Yeah.
But again, thank you for your time. You're off the hot seat on the speed round. Thank you for hanging out. We really appreciate what you're doing for the environment. Thank you for sharing your story. It's very important.
Thank you.
Thank you for just like really sharing your story about why it's so important. And people go out, support, purchase the book, and go out and support and help them clean up the harbor or wherever they may be. Check out their website or their IG site and check them out. Any last words?
No.
Oh, well, all right.
I'm still recovering from the hot seat.
No, you're good. You're good. All right, folks. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, folks, so much for hanging out with me. Check me out on nopixelardark.com and nopixelardark for all your social media needs. And definitely hit us up, any partnerships, anything like that. Love, peace, we're out.